Today on The Balanced Word.
How many of us as Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That's how I became a Christian. I got to the point where I believed that Jesus rose from the dead. But isn't it funny that we can say that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but we can't believe that he can provide for us if we offer everything that we have to him? Isn't it weird that, oh yeah, we believe Jesus rose from the dead, but believing that my marriage can be healed? Come on, we're talking real problems here, because it's worse than death right now. And so But again, a little perspective. Do you want to believe in the impossible? Then remember the basis for the impossible is a dead person raising himself from the dead. How do you do that?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
No matter how positive an attitude we have, no matter how hard we try, some things are out of the realm of human possibility. We can flap our arms as fast and hard as we can, and we'll still never fly without some kind of resistance. Yet the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. If Jesus rose from the grave and healed blind people, is there really anything he can't do in and through your life, if he wants? Keep that question in mind and open your Bible to Mark chapter 10, if you would, as Pastor Dave Rolfe begins by using marriage as an illustration here on The Balanced Word.
Do you believe that God can do the impossible? Do you expect him to? That should change our perspective on everything that we see when it comes to our own lives and the status of our marriages. Now, yes, staying married for a long time is impossible. And I could ask for everyone to raise their hands who's had a marriage fail. I'm not going to do that. But how many of you have been married at least 20 years? Raise your hands. How about 30 years? Keep them up. 40, anybody? 50? Anybody been married 60 years? Okay, well, we're up in the 50 years. Now, that's impossible. And if you knew these people who raised their hands that long, I'm telling you, it is impossible for it to happen, but look at that. It happens. And I'm telling you something, it can happen for you. If you're married, God could make you the one down the road, if he tarries, to, against all odds, to find out that God gave you a marriage that would last. And if that happens, that's a miracle. If that happens, it's an exception in our society. But I'm telling you, it's possible. And I don't care how miserable your marriage is right now. You need to understand this. God can make it last. God can hold you together and cause you to grow together, and your marriage can be saved. Impossible? Yeah. With men. He didn't say women, just men. But with God, all things are possible. You believe that. Now we move on in the chapter, and after the section about kids, we see the story that we usually call the rich young ruler. This guy comes to Jesus, and he's saying, what do I do to get eternal life? And Jesus, in verse 18, said to him, why do you call me good? He called him good teacher. There's no one who's good but one, and that's God. He said that because this guy thought he was good too. So he said, yeah, you want eternal life? You know the commandments. Follow the Ten Commandments. And he answered in verse 20 and said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Right. But then Jesus looked at him and he loved him. He didn't look at him and go, you stuck-up snob, you're never going to. No, man, he looked at him and he loved him. But he said to him, there's one thing missing now. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. The guy was really sad when he heard this, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And now the Lord went into this discussion with the disciples, Jesus did, about the problem with rich people getting saved. And this is where the comment that with God all things are possible came up. Jesus said, if you read the passage, he said, you know, for a rich person to get saved, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to be saved. Now, there are people who have said, oh, they had a little gate in the city called the camel's, you know, the needle's eye, and in order to get the camel through, you had to stoop him down, take off all the luggage. That's not true. What's true is he's talking about a real needle, something that's impossible, because the disciple said, that's impossible. So are you saying no rich person can be saved? And that's the context in which Jesus said, no, it's impossible for a rich person to be saved with men. But with God, all things are possible. And then Jesus goes on to tell him, but by the way, anything that you give up in this life, you're going to receive it in increased amounts and dosages. You'll not receive a hundredfold, not only in this time with what you're blessed with, but in the age to come. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now, we are taught well on these things. We know that what we need to do is say, everything I have belongs to God. And whatever he tells me to do with it, that's what I will do. And that includes giving things to people who have needs. That includes participating in that which God wants to do. And we all know the scripture says that what you sow, you're going to reap. And the truth is that if you give what you have to God in a sacrificial way, do with it what he wants you to do, that he is going to make it well worth your while in this life and in the future. We all know that. But still, do we do that? Do we get to the point where what we do is take all of our possessions and offer them to God? Now, he doesn't call everyone to give away everything that we have, but he would call all of us to be willing to do that. He calls all of us to not hang on tighter to what we have because, well, you know, the economy is kind of hurting and projections, or, hey, here's a projection for you. Jesus Christ says, if you give, he's going to give it back to you. Now, again, if we really believe that, how would that change the way we live? I mean, in some ways, it's so important, I ought to preach on it every week. But, you know, there are pastors who do that, and it's generally a self-serving way to increase the offering, and I would never want you to get that idea, and so I rarely say anything about giving. But what Jesus is saying here, the point that he is making is, even salvation is somehow connected to your ability to let go of your stuff. Now, you can apply that any way you want. But the fact is, to expect rich people to let go of their stuff, that's impossible. And we are all rich compared to most people in the world. So are we really going to let go of our stuff? Are we really willing to give it all away if that's what God told us to do? Have we ever even asked him, how much do you want me to give to different purposes and situations? That's a lot to ask. And as he says, it's really pretty much impossible unless God does a work in your heart, unless God leads you to do that. But do we expect him to do it? Do we expect that kind of a miracle in our lives and in our church? Impossible. But with God, who knows? He could do it. He wants to do it in all of our lives. Now, as we continue down in the passage there in verses 33 through 34, he told them, I'm going to be delivered over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be beaten and spit on and scourged and mocked, and I'm going to be killed. And then I'm going to rise again on the third day. He kept telling them this. The Gospel of Mark records many instances where he said it. And it really didn't soak in that there are difficult times that are coming, but it also didn't soak in that Jesus is going to rise from the dead. Now, why is this put in the middle of this? Because what is more impossible than this? What's more unlikely than a guy who's coming healing everybody and teaching is going to get killed? That's ridiculous, but it happened. But how likely is it that then he would raise himself from the dead 3 days later? You go, it's impossible. They knew that. They didn't know. They figured he must be speaking symbolically. Now, how many of us as Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead? How many of us really, I saw two hands. There you go. There's a few more hands. We all, if we call ourselves Christians, we go, that's how I became a Christian. I got to the point where I believed that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, that's a big part of it. But isn't it funny that we can say that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but we can't believe that he can provide for us if we offer everything that we have to him? Isn't it weird that, oh yeah, we believe Jesus rose from the dead, but believing that my marriage can be healed? Come on, we're talking real problems here. Not like the dead. This is way, because it's worse than death right now. And so but again, a little perspective. Do you want to believe in the impossible? Then remember the basis for the impossible is a dead person raising himself from the dead. How do you do that? Impossible with men. With God, all things are possible. Now he goes on next in the chapter. James and John are fighting over who's the greatest. They always do that. And we know here they're arguing about who gets to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. Now we know from other chapters that their mom was involved in this, kind of pushing them forward, and you know they wanted this place. And Jesus said to them in verse 38, you have no idea what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He just told them he's going to be mocked and scourged and spit on and killed. He's going, can you do that? They said, yeah. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you'll be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it is prepared. Then the disciples all started fighting among themselves. And Jesus called them to himself in verse 42 and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. In other words, you know how the Gentiles do. Might makes right. You push other people down, that pushes you up, and they do what you say. He said, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, it's interesting that he didn't say, you guys are really wrong for wanting to be great. It's really wrong for you to ask to sit at my right and my left hand. But he doesn't criticize their ambition. He doesn't say, you shouldn't want that kind of promotion. He just says, you don't understand how that works. You don't see where promotion comes from. And then he proposes this radical thing that if you're really ambitious, then take your ambition and turn it into a desire to serve. Turn it into a desire to be useful to others, to bless others, to do things for others. And the result of that will be what you've really been ambitious for. But the way to be great in my kingdom is to be a servant of all. Now, to suggest this to people, again, it's impossible. Are we ever going to sell everyone on the notion that you need to try to outserve each other? Those of you who are really ambitious, you need to see if you can serve more than the other person. You go, come on. I mean, is it likely that we could even do that in our church? That people would go, you know, we'd have to announce, you know what? I'm sorry, but there are so many people helping with the donut ministry that you're going to have to sign up and take turns. Or what if at the end of the service, when you sing the last song, no one would leave? Because everyone's going, no, you go first. Oh, no, 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 no. You go first. And it's all jammed up. And imagine, what would the parking lot be like? What would our lives be like if we really did it? How about at home? If you go out there and you mow your lawn and you also mow your neighbor's lawn. And then he gets up earlier in the morning next time because he wants to mow your lawn. Next thing you know, everybody in the neighborhood's mowing everyone else's lawn. We look at it and go, come on, that's impossible. It's not going to happen. We're not going to go, you know what, too many shoeboxes. They're starting to complain down in Pedregales. Every kid's getting like 12 presents, and so mellow out on the shoeboxes. No, it's not going to be that way. In the church, we were talking this morning, because you always have this thing with sound, and there are some people who think that our music is too loud, and they don't applause. And there are other people who, because you're going to feel really bad, there are other people who think it's not loud enough. There are other people who think it's just right. And there's always this tension. So this morning I went back and I listened to worship. Hey, I thought it was pretty good. But what would happen in a church where people were going, you know, that's a little loud for me, but I bet there's some people in there who really like it that loud. Or if you go, I wish it was a little more hardcore, you know, rock and roll, but I'm just really glad that they're doing that hymn for these old people. Or, you know, and what if that's the attitude we took in church? We're like, oh no, let's do it your way. Oh no, let's do it your way. Come on, Dave, you're dreaming. Not going to happen. People, and you're just saying this because your job is listening to everyone complaining about things not being the way they want it. But I'm just crazy enough to believe God could do this. It's impossible, but our church could become the kind of place where people, rather than always wanting it their way, where people just started wanting it someone else's way, wanting other people to go first and be blessed. This is what the scriptures say. Jesus himself says, hey, this is how it works in my kingdom. If you have ambition, turn your ambition into service. Now, yeah, then we will have a problem. Too many Sunday school teachers, too much money, you know, that we can't even find enough missionaries to support. The missionaries are going, please quit sending us money. It's getting embarrassing. And, I'll take that chance to exhort you to believe that God can do the impossible and to really expect it, starting with you. Starting with your life and with my life, what if this could happen? Now, the chapter ends with Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus. And again, he's healing a blind guy. You believe that? But you can believe that. And you can believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But you're having a hard time believing about your marriage, about your healing, about your family, having a hard time believing that you could actually start to serve, that you could actually trust God enough to take everything that you have and go, here, God, who do you want me to give to? How do you want me to share? How do you want me to be involved? You know what? We're just fooling ourselves when we pretend to believe in resurrection from the dead and blind people being healed, but we can't even believe that God can do the impossible in these most basic areas of our lives, in our relationships, in our finances, in the use of our time and service. Three major areas where what God sets as the standard is something that's impossible for us to do. And yet, he does the impossible. He wants to do that. He wants to do this in all of our lives and in our churches and in our community. Wow, what if he did? What if it happened? What if our church got a reputation, for instance, that, man, people go there and their marriages get healed? It's amazing. They like hate each other and they're ready to get a divorce. Papers are all filed. But you know, then they go to that church and they start loving each other. And they want to stay married and they want to save their families. And you never hear of anybody in that church getting divorced. And not only that, look at that church. They're like, they're giving offering back because so many people are giving that they just like run out of ideas of how to spend it. And so they're giving it away down there. And that church is the kind of place where you go there and everybody, I mean, you go out after church and somebody wiped off your windshield and took the dents out of your car and, you know, they're, oh, here, let me help you. And they open doors for you and they want to know how they can help. And wow, impossible. But what a world it would be. What a witness we would have if we believed that that could happen in our lives and through us in our communities.
Today on The Balanced Word, we've been studying the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Dave Rolfe. And if you'd like to purchase the CD of today's message in Mark, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. That's 949-362-7475. You can also listen to these studies at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. Today we're pleased to offer you Pastor Dave's entire Through the Bible study on a USB. That includes a study of the Gospel of Mark. You'll go from Genesis to Revelation with Pastor Dave. So ask for the Through the Bible study USB. Available for a donation of $30 or more. Just call 949-362-7475 or go online to thebalancedword.com. Please remember that your gifts help to bring these shows to the radio every day on stations like this all across the nation. You can make a donation online at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. Virtually every Sunday, Pastor Dave teaches through the Word at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, and you're more than welcome to join us. We offer two Sunday morning services, and they begin at 8 and 10. For directions or more information about the church, go to ccpacifichills.org. You can also watch the live stream there at ccpacifichills.org in case you live outside the area or can't be with us in person. Take a look at Pastor Dave's one-minute message at thebalancedword.com, a great way to start the day, or watch on your lunch break. Again, thebalancedword.com is the place to go to watch that. If you'd like someone to pray for you, please do get in touch with us through our website at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. As we return to Pastor Dave, he brings things down to a personal level.
Now, what situation are you dealing with? What is it in your life that's impossible that you just pretty much have given up on? You kind of go through the ritual of praying for it every once in a while, but you just know it isn't going to happen. What if you started to believe that it would? What if you suspended your critical spirit a little bit and like a child, you just began to believe that God really is someone who can heal blind people and raise himself from the dead, and therefore there's nothing outside the realm of his possibility? What if you started to believe that this economic crash that we're going through is something that God maybe wants to turn around, bring good out of, and bless our nation again? What if God has given us the president that he's about to give us because the guy's going to turn into some brilliant person who solves all these problems and then puts 666 on your head? No. Yeah, just kidding about that part. But, I mean, what if he does? Is that something that you can't even pray for because you just think it's so ridiculous? Or in your life, what you're struggling with, what's frustrating you? Is that something impossible that God can do? I saw a couple this morning who I was just praying for this week, and they had tried everything to get pregnant and just couldn't happen, and they couldn't talk about it without crying. It was so frustrating, and I just felt when I prayed for them a few months ago, I felt like God was going to do something, and this week, the Lord just brought them to my mind, and I prayed for them again, and they told me after church, after first service that, hey, we're pregnant, we're doing... I'm like, it was so rewarding because I didn't go, no way. I'm sure it's false results, and if not, you're probably going to lose a baby anyway. And no, it's like I had this feeling that God was going to do it for them. And he even reminded me of it this week. And I'm like, it's so exciting when that happens. Now, how about setting yourself up for some more of those kind of aha moments, for those kind of childish naive kind of thrills that come when you believe that the impossible is going to happen and then God does it. Oh, man. It doesn't take too many of those to make it worth all the ones that don't happen, because you realize, wow, God is the God of the exceptional. He's a miracle-working God. He's not through doing impossible things for us. Let's expect it.
We're talking about responding to authority, in particular God's authority, next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And